Mark chapter 15. Mark 15. And I'm very aware that there is but a step between any one of us and death. But when I was listening, I was thinking, you know, I might not make it back to Prince Edward Island. I don't know. I'd love to get home. My wife is home there. And Cat, Jasper, I'd like to get home. But I might not make it home. Somewhere between here and Vancouver, an 18-wheeler. It could happen. Plane could drop out of the sky. Just happens like that. Unexpected. But you know what? I have really good sleeps at night. Because that one sacrifice for sins forever has met my need completely, and I am absolutely sure I'm going to be in heaven. Like, oh, how much better does it get than that? Like, really? There might be a lot of things you don't have in life. But to be able to say, I'm 100% sure I'm going to be in heaven, based on what Christ did for me, that's a great way to live. Great way. Look at Mark 15. The Lord Jesus is on the cross. And verse 25. It was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucified two thieves, one on the right hand, the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. And, verse 29, and they that passed by railed on him, wagging their heads, saying, ah, thou that destroyest a temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself and come down from the cross. And they kept on walking past him. They passed him by. Young brother was speaking not too long ago, who had been over to Israel, and I just hadn't really thought of it this way, but you know, you sort of have these mental pictures of how the crosses were positioned, and so you think that the cross is away up high, and people were passing by down and looking a distance like some of the hills around here. But really, it seems to be that probably those who were crucified were just a little off the ground. And those that were passing by could look not away off in the distance and see him up there. Passing by, and they could look right into his eyes. He was right there. Just maybe this far above them. Hanging on the cross. And they passed by. And they shouted a few things at him and kept on going. I don't know. Maybe they had a lot other appointments that day. They didn't have time to stop. Look to a rather obscure verse in the Old Testament, Lamentations. It's just to help you out so you won't be embarrassed. Some of you have been reading your Bible for years, might not be able to find it. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. I put a yellow sticky note in mind, so I would be able to find it quickly. Lamentations, chapter 1 and verse 12. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by, behold, or look attentively, stop and consider, see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. I'm going to apply these words to the Lord Jesus tonight. How do you think Jesus felt? He was fully conscious when he was hanging on the cross. And as one after another, just coming down from this angle, direction, passed by, and shouted a few things and kept on going, He wasn't a robot hanging on a cross. He had feelings like you. He had feelings like me. He had a tender heart. Read the Gospels. He knew what it was to weep. And to think that people, his own creatures, could walk past him, shout out a few passing words, and keep on going. Aren't these words applicable? Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. The Lord Jesus was there on the cross, dying, being punished for our sins. It was a day of God's fierce anger, when God's anger for my sins was meted out. The judgment fell on Jesus Christ rather than on Peter Ramsey. The judgment fell on the Lord Jesus Christ. And these words could be applied to the Lord Jesus. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, or with the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. Passing by. You say, I hear what you're saying, but, you know, like, I just think a gospel meeting is a bit of a relic. Like, it's just sort of like, you wonder why all these seats aren't filled. A gospel meeting is like stepping back into the 1800s, really. Like, do you think you'll ever have these seats filled? And you may have some of those thoughts going through your mind. Well, really, a gospel meeting is like pulling off the crazy highway of life and sitting on the shoulder of the road in the dark and putting on the hood light and saying, where am I? While all the other traffic goes zoom, 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 zoom by you. And here you are tonight sitting in a gospel meeting. 60 minutes. Like on the side of the road. As they zoom by, pass by. Thank God you're here. Are you going to pass by the cross tonight? Zoom by. I know life is fast. Breakneck speed. Everything is so fast. Families on the tear. Basketball, wrestling, football, hockey, ballet, golfing, tee-off times, business meetings, and you just go right down the list. Driver's ed, gym, swimming lessons, and look at the driveways in the around here. One car pulling in, one car backing out. It's a busy, busy life. And don't you think there's not a mastermind behind it trying to keep everybody going at a fast pace because he wants everybody to pass by the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and land in hell. That is Satan's sinister agenda behind the scenes. The hectic pace of life. I find things awfully slow now. It must mean that we're living in a very fast world. I love popcorn. Man, you buy that stuff, you put in the microwave. Do you ever see some slow microwaves? It takes forever for those 3 minutes to pass. Why can't they make faster microwaves? Everything is too slow. Did I take it with me? Somebody gave me their garage door opener. Look, you press that button, it takes forever for the door to get to the top. Why can't they make a fast garage door opener? Space between the telephone rings too long, and rebooting the computer too long. I don't know if there's elevators and escalators here, and I'm sure there are. But have you been on one lately? Desperate slow. Desperate slow. I was at a bank machine today. Put that card in there. Like, you put in your little 5 or 6 digits, and why can't they make those things instantaneous? So slow. But we're living in such a fast world. because people are too busy and going too fast. And the Bible says, stop, stop. Isaiah wrote, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come. He's saying, stop, slam on the brakes. Stop and consider the Savior. Don't pass by. Life in the fast lane, accelerated lifestyles, so fast. The fastest I was ever going on the planet here, I've been up in the sky and going really fast in the sky, but actually on ground, the ground speed, I was with Regen one day, a French-Acadian young fellow that used to race Mustangs and like literally raced them, like not just, he winning competitions. And so he took a day off from work, from fishing, down in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia. And he said, I want to take you out in my race car. I don't know, Mustang. I'm not into cars. So we got to the straight stretch of the Trans-Canada, and flat. And he came to a dead stop. I wasn't really sure what to expect. And then he accelerated quite quickly, as fast as the little rig would go. And at the same time, he pressed the button and put the windows up. And the windows went up and the car... And 180 kilometers, 200 kilometers, 220, 240. And I looked over at him, Regen, what if you blow a tire? He said, you're saved, aren't you? Wow, I said, I am saved, but this is not the way I want to go. It was fast. And it wouldn't surprise me if there's someone in the meeting tonight and you're going just as fast spiritually. Going through life at such a fast pace. And you can't even clear your mind out long enough to figure out, what do I believe from the Bible? Is this true or not? Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Did Jesus really die for sins? You don't have time to stop and think about it. Because you're going it so fast. Oh, it's so fast, this life. I've heard Mr. Dirksen say, he was the first one I heard him say it. But you go to a graveyard and you see the dates on the headstones in 1969 to -2006. And what does that little line mean? And he said it means a dash. So life, so short. Such a short time between the crib, the cradle, and the coffin. From the schoolyard to the graveyard. Such a short time. Such a short time from the souped up fast car Mustang to the very, very slow car. You know which one I mean. Such a short time from the vertical to the horizontal. Very short. Are you ready? Are all your preparations made for eternity? Seriously now, I wrote a man in North Vancouver this afternoon. I said, Lee, have you found spiritually what you're looking for? Or would you say, I'm still in the process finding it? I asked a lady in Newfoundland, emailed her a couple of weeks ago, telling Mr. Dirksen that her son just got saved, never been to a gospel meeting, listening to a Peter Orsak's testimony. He said, my mother is over in Newfoundland. He said, I'll get her email address for you. So he did. I wrote her. I said, Linda, we've never met, but your son has given me your email address. I said, would you say you have found what you're looking for spiritually? Or are you still working on it? She wrote back. She said, I'm still working on it. I'm ashamed to say it. I don't have a clue how to become a Christian. Have you found what you're looking for? Or are you still working on it? Is it still out there? Or is it in here? Is it still on the shelf? Or have you made Jesus Christ your own tonight? Can you say, yes, He's mine? That's what counts for eternity. You passing by too quickly? So many sights to see, and the devil will make sure people have all kinds. Oh, you like this? Oh, let me pull it out. And he pulls it out for you. But it doesn't appeal to me, so I've got something else for you. Oh, he's been at this game for millennia. He has all kinds of sights for people to see. What he doesn't want you to stop and look at is a sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, suffering for sins that were not his own, agonies that he bore on the cross of Calvary. Satan doesn't want you to stop and consider, why was he there as the bearer of sin? He doesn't want you to sing that old hymn. He wants you to pass right on by. There's one sight, and all the other things you see. I was coming up, I don't know, I took the long way up. I'm still not sure which way I came from Vancouver to Kamloops, but they said it took an extra hour and a half longer the way I came. But and I made it just a tad bit longer because I was stopping at every little distance to take a few pictures. And I was supposed to be at the Richards for lunch, and I was an hour late. Here I was on the side of the road. Sights to see. There are sights to see in this world. But one sight you must stop to see on the road of life, because life is passing by. You know, in the 60 minutes that we're in this meeting, 6,098 people are spending their first minutes in eternity. Life is passing by. 2 people die each second. Here's 1 second. There's 1 second. 2 people just died. 2 more people just died. And 2 more people just died. And 2 more people just died. And 2 more, and 2 more, and 2 more. Are you confident that you won't be the next one? Are you confident that you'll be going back to whatever you do on Monday? Don't miss. Don't pass by Jesus Christ. Oh, the crowd. It's just, the road is crowded. There's momentum away from Christ. It's just, and it just come with us. And it's just crowded everywhere you look. And you're sort of an oddity. You almost feel if I stop and go there and stop and think so seriously and so deeply, because everything in the world is so shallow. What's happening tonight in Kamloops? Weekend events. It's all about the here and now. What about the hereafter? Are you ready? Don't pass by the cross. Is it nothing to you, all you who pass by? Just stop and consider him, crowned with thorns, face beaten and bruised, his beard plucked off, spit caked on his face, hands and feet with nails, a back that was beaten, can I say it reverently, to pulp. A plowed field. And the Bible says that they were punching him in the face with their fists. You can imagine the bruises. And can you just keep on going on with life? And not stop and say, what was that all about? Was he the sinner? Was he the criminal? Can you stop long enough to say, why was he there? a wonderful thing if you stop long enough to find out, he was there for me. My son-in-law, Evan Frith from Vancouver, he went to gospel meetings all over the city for many, many years. He got into his late 20s. And everybody that came to Vancouver, all the preachers for meetings, should look up Evan Frith. Girl at work asked him, Evan, will you come to see the movie, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion? Evan thought, I don't know whether I should even go to see that movie. Anyway, he went. Thought he'd critique it to see what Mel Gibson might have left out or put in. But when he was sitting there watching that movie, Evan's heart was touched to think that he had lived 28 years of his life and never stopped long enough to think, why was Jesus on that cross? And he got up off his seat in the theater and he went to his home and he went up to his bedroom and he got on his knees. And all he could think of is 28 years have slipped by and you have never thanked Jesus Christ for suffering for your sins. And Evan trusted Christ that night. He thanked the Lord Jesus for suffering for him, taking his punishment upon himself. Have you? Have you ever, what do you think eternity will be like? To think of what God gave and to think of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done and to think that there are people in Kamloops who have never stopped long enough to allow a tear to run down their face or for their heart to be touched and say, it was for me. Yes, all for me, Jesus died. Thank you very much, Lord Jesus, dying for sins that I am guilty of. For those who've never stopped long enough to think those thoughts, whatever will there be eternity be like to die that way? Let me ask you as we close this meeting, spring cleaning for the older generation. But this time of year you see a lot of people putting out old chairs, sofas, desks that have a knob broken off them. They put them out at the edge of their driveway sometimes. And they put it all out there. They lug it out and hurt their back. And they go in, they sort of breathe a sigh of relief. Got rid of that junk, that trash. Glad to get it out of the house. And the guy with a quarter, half-ton truck's going down the road, slams on his brake, packs up, jumps out, picks it up, thinks he's got a treasure. Yes, I picked it up on the side of the road. Look at it. It's just like new. What was trash for somebody, it's treasure for someone else. It's the way it is with our Savior. There are people here tonight. You ask us, what do you think of the Lord Jesus? You can ask us at the door, well, what does Christ mean to you? No, we say, he's a precious treasure. But what about you? A trash. Is it nothing? That's a value statement question. Is it nothing to you? What value do you place on the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight? What Jesus did in the cross? What value? Nothing? No value? What a great Friday night meeting this would be. If you slow down, you need to slow down. You know the speed bumps they put in subdivisions? What they're for? Slow you down. Sometimes God brings speed bumps into our life to slow us down. Thank God you're here tonight. Stop. Don't keep on passing by. Stop and consider the Lord Jesus Christ and receive Him personally as your Savior. Shall we pray?